we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, April the 10th, in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. And on Monday, we took a look at Luke chapter 24, which was the gospel reading for the third Sunday of Easter, coming up on April the 14th. But there is no Old Testament reading during the Sunday of Easters, and in place of it is readings from the book of Acts. This Sunday, it's from Acts chapter 3. It begins with the lame beggar healed. Verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Now that would be at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they lay daily at the tent gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. What was the Beautiful Gate? This was one of a number of gates of the temple. Now, its precise location is unknown, but the temple itself included four different courts, one for Gentiles, one for women, one for Israel men, and one for priests. And each court was more exclusive than the other, because beginning with the court for priests, and then men, then women, then Gentiles, it was closer in location to the Holy of Holies. So he was beside the Beautiful Gate, and seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them to receive alms. Now, alms, of course, would be some coinage that the lame man could then use to buy food, etc. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now you got to remember, this man was lame from birth. He was always carried around, lay daily at the gate of the temple to receive alms. And Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and enter the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Now remember, Peter and John were able to go to the court for Israel men. The lame man was not, because Judaism considered if you were lame or blind or mute or deaf, that was some kind of punishment from God for your sin. Remember in John chapter 9, the man born blind, the disciples asked Jesus, who sinned, he or his parents, that he was born blind? That was the thinking of this false religion called Judaism. And so when he was able to walk, he was able to enter the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw this and recognized him as the one who had been sitting at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms for years. And the people were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, while he was in the temple, walking and leaping with great joy, he clung to Peter and John and ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk?" Wow, that was a wonderful statement. Peter is addressing them and saying, no, it wasn't by our power or ability. It's kind of like when a pastor does baptism or the Lord's Supper. In baptism of even infants, they receive faith, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the forgiveness of sins. In the Lord's Supper, people receive the very body and blood of Christ in, with, and under the bread and the wine. The pastor would be able to say what Peter just said. Why are you staring at us as though by our power or piety these things occur? So then Peter, in verse 13 of chapter 3 of Acts, explains, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him." You see, what Peter does, he goes back to Scripture. Why does Peter use Scripture when talking to the people? Because he shows through the Bible that Jesus is Israel's Lord and Savior. Peter built his case not with his own words or his own reason, as the world does, who invent gods that are in the personality of the people. No, the God of the Bible is totally different. God in Christ pours his Spirit on us through baptism and makes a new house of David, Israel, called the Holy Christian Church. And so Peter reminds them, you delivered Jesus over and denied him in the presence of Pilate, even when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murder to be granted to you. And you killed the Author of Life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. Now see, this is how you bring someone into a converted state, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You simply repeat what the Bible has to say about Jesus and what happened to him. Yes, he died on the cross, but God raised him from the dead. To this we are witnesses. There is an interesting book put out, and the title is The Apologetics of the Apostle Paul. Now, what does that mean? The word apologetics doesn't mean the apology of the Apostle Paul. The word apologia means the defense. How does Paul defend what he is saying about Jesus? He doesn't use any evidence outside of Scripture. It's always the Word of Scripture. Recently, we went over the text of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And remember, how did Jesus bring them to a greater understanding of conversion? He kept quoting the Old Testament from Genesis through the end of the book of the Old Testament, pointing out the prophecies that Jesus alone fulfilled in the New Testament. And this was the witness of the disciples. Verse 16. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man perfect health in the presence of you all. Now that is really critical, because Jesus did not come just to bring spiritual health, but also physical health. And that is the joy and hope that we have for heaven. Are you lame or blind or deaf or mute? Do you have some other illness or weakness? These will all be gone when you get to heaven, because you will have a perfect body rejoined with your spirit on that day of judgment. Now, Peter's talking to people who are still trying to figure out how this lame man was able to get up and walk around. And so Peter says, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers." Now, what he's talking about are many of the kings of Israel and Judah did not have good faith. In fact, they worshipped idols. They built homes for idols because of their wives. and they rejected the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Moses. So Peter says, as did John the Baptizer, repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out. Now, what does that mean? Well, you can do this with Sunday school children or tell your congregation. Write down the sins that you had done during the week of which you were aware of. And then take a black pen and run over those sentences until you can no longer see one letter. That is the blotting out of sins. And that occurred on the cross of Jesus Christ. That times of refreshment may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets long ago. So again, Peter goes back to the Old Testament, talking about what I like to call the shuns of Jesus Christ. His incarnation, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and his exaltation. All of that from before the days of the creation of the world were on the mind of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that is the purpose for not only the creation of the world, but the redemption of mankind, that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, as verse 21 says, whom heaven must receive, and that occurred at his exaltation. And Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father until that time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. With Peter quoting scripture, he begins with Moses, verse 22. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. Wow, that says a lot. Number one, if this prophet is like Moses, he is a human being. Jesus became a human being and was born of the Virgin Mary. He was the Son of God. And the angel Gabriel referred to him as Emmanuel, which is Hebrew for God with us. That's the prophet that Moses was talking about. In fact, in Genesis 3:15, it's very clear that that prophet will suffer because of Satan. He will be wounded, but he will also crush the head of the snake and put death to death. And if you listen to him, because that is what God desires you to do on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. But then verse 23 says, it shall be every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. That means hell will be their destination. That is so clear when you read Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. It's not that the sheep are going to heaven because of all their good works, because they can't even do good works until they are on their way to heaven through faith in Jesus Christ, because then they have the proper motivation, love for Jesus in doing those good works. Verse 24, and all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. What does that mean? They also spoke of these days in which the people of Israel are now living after the crucifixion, resurrection, and exaltation of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is with them. And there's something about them. Verse 25. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers. You see, there are two covenants. There's the old covenant, and the word covenant can also be translated as testament. What was a covenant in the Old Testament? If you obey the commandments of God, you will be saved. But since nobody can obey the commandments perfectly, no one is saved by obedience to the law. The second covenant or agreement by God in his last testament at the Lord's Supper is that you are saved by hearing and believing the words of Jesus Christ. That is the covenant that God made with your fathers. Quoting Abraham again in verse 26. And in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What does that mean? God is talking to Abraham about the son Isaac that he and Abraham's wife will have. It took 25 years for him to be born, but through him, all the families of the earth are blessed. As the line continues from Isaac all the way to the Virgin Mary, and Jesus Christ is the one who will be a blessing to all the families of the earth, both Jew and Gentile. Verse 26. God, having raised up his servant. Now that's very interesting, because there's no doubt that in the creation of the world, all three persons of the Trinity had a part. God the Father in Genesis 1, verse 1, creates the universe. The Holy Spirit is above the waters of the earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 3 says, let there be light. But it's also true that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all three persons participated. The Father participated according to verse 26, having raised up his servant. Jesus says, I have the power to take away my life and to raise it up. And there's no doubt there are passages in the New Testament where the Holy Spirit contributes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, God, having raised up his servant, the servant that he sent to the world in Daniel to be a redeemer to the world, he sent him to you first. That is, to the saints of God, to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. What's that talking about? Because even saints continue to sin. But we have been turned from our wickedness because we had the righteousness of Jesus Christ given to us through faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why you are going to heaven, because of what God did in sending his Son to the cross, raising him from the dead, and now sending him to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. So then in baptism, you are saved from eternal death. That's the message of Acts chapter 3. A great message for the world that will convert them. Join with us tomorrow for another dose of the distinctions between law and gospel. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.